facebook.com/RoseCityNativeRadio. You can also reach us with your music, local events, and more at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, stay cool, Indian Country. We'll see you next week. No clean water, but we still here. We still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we still here. We still here. Enrage and resistance. Take back the land is the business. Step up and witness. Speak up. Go the distance. The time is now. Show them how. They didn't want us to powwow, so we made a powwow. Now allow your powwow. Four push-ups to dance your style. I'm hella versatile. My indigenous girl lifestyle. You checked my Insta profile. Too quick to reconcile without the truth or impact the youth. You tell the lies of the voting booth. We'll make it smooth. Elders and POCs do all the work. Make moves. Culture vultures waiting to play and take away what is sacred. Internalized self-hatred. Culture lost. Nothing to show, they try to be a bro. Be careful and let them know we are here and we're in control. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations. Comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading. But we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess. Say it again, no clean water, but we still here. We're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. We're still here. They call me on my cellie to hear my words and my verbs, my words into action. I'm the girl that makes it happen, shutting down the streets. I complete, I defeat with just one tweet. No need for.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7:01, and next is Queen Talk. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Iran Forum, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The Iran Forum will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. The sponsoring groups are involved in prevention of war and in supporting diplomacy and friendship with the people of Iran. Again, that's the Iran Forum U.S. Withdrawal from the Nuclear Agreement and Path to War on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Love and I interested me so that I dared to knock at the door of the cosmos.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Solstice Celebration on Thursday, June 28th at 6:30 p.m. at EcoTrust in Portland. The Portland Solstice Celebration is a benefit party and open house in support of Rogue Farm Corps and their work training new farmers and preserving farmland. The event features live music, food and drinks, a raffle, and more. Again, that's the Portland Solstice Celebration on Thursday, June 28th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at EcoTrust, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
In my bag. Swag.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I want to give a trigger warning for listeners that may be affected by language in discussion surrounding self-harm and other adult content. This episode of Queen Talk focuses on some heavy topics that could trigger listeners. Thank you for tuning in. This episode, like I said, is going to be a little bit deep, so we're just going to dive in with stating that CNN reported the U.S. suicide rates increased more than 25% since 1999, and more than half of those who died by suicide had not been diagnosed with a mental health condition. This information is very troubling, and we need to protect our youth and all people. Everyone deserves to be happy, loved, cared for, and supported. This month's episode of Queen Talk will focus on the detrimental state of mental health in the United States with focus on teens and youth. We will be analyzing and discussing the popular Netflix series 13 Reasons Why and Hollywood's oftentimes romanticism of suicide and unhealthy relationships with one's self and others. So I want to start with a brief summary of what 13 Reasons Why is for people who don't know, and this is provided by IMDb for any listeners who have not heard or watched it. So 13 Reasons Why is based on the best-selling books by Jay Asher. It follows a teenager, Clay Jensen, as he returns home from school to find a mysterious box with his name on it lying on his porch. Inside, he discovers a group of cassette tapes recorded by Hannah Baker, his classmate and crush who tragically took her own life 2 weeks earlier. On tape, Hannah unfolds an emotional audio diary detailing the 13 reasons why she decided to end her life. Through Hannah and Clay's dual narratives, 13 Reasons Why weaves an intricate and heart-wrenching story of confusion and desperation that will deeply affect viewers. And obviously you can find more summaries online if you're interested before you actually watch the show. So thinking about the show and more specifically season two, there are a few key themes that stand out, including but not limited to slut shaming, self-harm, unhealthy relationships, unhealthy friendships, trauma and abuse, graphic immature content, and glorifying violence and bullying, relationship between the popular versus unpopular, mental health issues, and the failure of the public school system. So if my guests could just introduce themselves, these are all reoccurring guests, and then pick a theme or two and elaborate on when you saw it or them play out in season two. So anybody who wants to start, it's your game.
I'll start. My name is Michaela, for anybody that doesn't already know. I guess the biggest thing that stands out to me in season two is Chloe and Bryce's relationship. What really sat on my heart was when she was getting, when she was being, when she was testifying, and she stuck by him instead of telling her story and, you know, knowing her story and actually coming to agreeance that that happened to her. She kind of just hid and took up for what she, you know, she feels like her man, and, you know, trying to keep that, what do you call it? Trying to keep that,
like fairy tale, or like,
yeah, like that facade. Relationship, yeah. Facade, there you go, that they have. So that kind of, I think that was like one of the worst points for me in season two, at least.
All right, I'm Vanessa, and I think of the themes that you mentioned, the one that stood out for me the most was the like graphic and mature content. I am like so shocked that this show is so easily available on Netflix to like kids, especially like in season two in that last episode with the sodomy. I just like could not believe how graphic that was. And in season one with, you know, like when Hannah finally takes her own life, it's like they really show everything, and I was really, really shocked by that.
I'm Asia, and I was basically gonna say the same thing about the
last episode and that specific scene in general, because I just think that it was kind of, I was taken aback by it because it was just really graphic. So I don't know.
I'm Jamie, and one of the themes that really got to me was the bullying, because it like really just, it keeps going on and on throughout the show. It's not really in one certain episode, and like no matter how many times they try and like stop the bullying in the school or like between the kids, like it just really doesn't stop and doesn't like doesn't even stop for like a certain amount of time. It just keeps going on, and like I just don't really like, me myself, like I've never really experienced like a lot of that, so it just like was just hard to see like all those people get hurt every single day.
Yeah, I would agree with all the points that you guys brought up. And also, the slut-shaming thing, I think, kind of ties in with the bullying. I think that it's just crazy to me, specifically because I, like, really went through that when I was in high school, of just, like, you know, being, like, hypersexualized because my body was very mature for my age. And, you know, I was pretty insecure. I had, like, really, really bad acne. So I kind of, like, relied on, like, my body to make me feel good about myself and, like, get attention from people. And, like, I, like, did some things that, you know, weren't the smartest decisions. And, like, they backfired on me and were spread kind of across. Like, I'm telling you straight up, like, stuff that happened to Hannah, like, that actually happened to me. So just, like, to see, like, that play out, like, was just traumatizing, just because I'm like, I've been there where I'm like, is it even, you know, like, worth me staying at this school? Like, I don't have any friends, I feel so alone, and like, is this ever gonna end, type of stuff. So I just feel like it was definitely like realistic situations for sure. So what impacted you the most through this series? So if you could pick like season one or season two, like what are some like specific scenes or like relationships that like impacted you the most, do you feel like?
For me, it was definitely the whole breakdown, like in the last episode of season one, of Hannah killing herself, not just like the scene where they show it, but Clay's whole narrative of like walking through everything that she did. It was like a map. It's like, this is, if you are a teenager and you feel like your life is awful, like here's how you stop it. And I just thought that was awful, because that's like, you know, that's, there are so many other options for people. And I think, you know, as an adult, you can see the other sides of it. But as, you know, a suffering 13, 14, 15-year-old, it's easy to see it as like, okay, this is what I should do. And that like makes me really nervous for all the kids who are watching the show.
I guess for me, I really related to Clay, just because he was always the strong friend, and people would come to him for advice, or people come to him with their issues, and nobody really checked on Clay. And I really can relate to that, because that's how I am. I kind of put myself to the side when it comes to my friends, and my friends are very near and dear to my heart, so I keep them first before me. But you know, I've had some experiences in my life where I kind of just had to step back and put myself before everybody else, and it's really changed me as a person. And I did that all within like a year and a half, so it happened what seemed like very, very fast, but very effective. And I feel like Clay never had that chance to really step inside himself and, you know, have a breather, have a moment, have, you know, and I feel like he did in season two at the dance, where he just broke down and like, yeah. You know, had that moment where he just could let go of his own feelings instead of worrying about everybody else. But then he still had to worry about somebody else, and you know,
right
in the end, because
Right. You, like, see him, like, really struggling with his emotions mm-hmm. and even, like, a little bit of, like, you know, some, like, mental illness. The fact that the whole entire season, too, he's seeing Hannah and she has passed. You know what I mean? He can't get her out of his head, out of his thoughts. He's making decisions based off of what he thinks that she's saying. Like, it was, like, so tragic to watch him just like in his head mm-hmm. like just going back and forth, like talking to this girl that he just like loved so much, couldn't understand, and like, you know, was making like dangerous decisions based off of that. So yeah, I totally agree.
Something that impacted me the most, it was actually like in a positive way, was like how all the kids, well, not all of them, but a group and certain individuals came together to just use their voices for Hannah and tell her story. Like, a lot of kids now don't have the courage to do that. So I think Netflix did a good job of, like, even if they didn't know enough, they still had that option of telling her story or telling what they knew. So I think it's just important to that Netflix let people know, and that show let people know that your voice is still important even if you don't know enough. So
Something that impacted me was in season one, the rape scene between Bryce and Hannah. It was just like, it kind of showed me that, like, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but like a norm kind of now, that like teenagers will like get sexually abused at parties and stuff, and people will think, their friends will think it's cool and like won't say anything about it and won't step out and like do anything to stop them, and like that's just like kind of sad and scary, and it just like showed like just how real it is.
So what were your thoughts and feelings about the role of the school counselor as we look at more of like the educational system and like systems of power, just kind of delving in, what responsibility do all school systems have, public and private, to provide youth with access to mental health services and self-harm and trauma prevention intervention?
Let me just say, I felt really bad for that counselor. He was really, really struggling. And I feel he was struggling because he felt like he didn't do enough, and he didn't do it in a timely matter, or like he didn't do it when Hannah was there, because there was a scene where he was like, I don't know if hallucinating or what, but reminiscing, he was seeing her in there, but he was trying to do what he should have done, but she was like, I'm already dead, so you're kind of too late. So I really felt bad for the counselor, especially when he was testifying. And as far as that, I just think that, and I hate to say it, I feel like counselors aren't really counselors. They're kind of just faculty and just kind of staff and just there to get you graduated. And you know, they're not really getting into these teenagers' lives. And
they have too many kids for that. You know, like if that school I feel only like has that's one
an
counselor.
I feel like that's an excuse. Because everybody, I mean,
I think he could have done better. I'm not saying that. I absolutely think he could have done better.
Yeah, but I feel like, he could have done better. But from experience, I guess, with my counselor at my school, he didn't get into our lives like that. You know, and the funny thing is we were there in his office every day, all day, and never once did he ask about mental health. He never asked about, you know, how are things going at home. It was always, oh, make sure you're on your scholarships, make sure mm-hmm. you're doing FAFSA, make sure you know, that kind of thing. So I you know, just I guess from personal experience, I feel like some counselors could get deeper into these kids' heads and into their lives.
Sure. To piggyback off that, like, I just obviously graduated high school, so like I'm really close to my counselor, but it wasn't like oh, this is my counselor, this is just another staff with that title. Like, kids grow up knowing that counselor means help, or counselor means, oh, I can go to this person just in case I can't go to anybody at home. But like, when you hit a certain point in the school system, it's kind of like, oh, this is just another faculty member. It's like all the like facade. Like, there's kids that I know that have such bad mental, like that have mental illnesses and didn't get help and would be in the office every day and there was no questions asked, nothing. Like, it was, oh, are you passing your math class? Like, that's not just the mental, you know? So there's an emotional side of it all, and I think counselors need to, not all of them, but some, in my personal experience, counselors need to live up to their name a little bit more.
I definitely agree with that. I've seen that. You know, at Central Catholic, where Michaela and I went, there were four counselors, whereas it seemed like in 13 Reasons Why, there's just the one. And I talked to multiple of the counselors, and I definitely noticed a difference between them. So I wonder if it's like a systemic thing where like counselors aren't being trained properly and like how to deal with like real life issues that teenagers are going through, or if it's just like some counselors are more concerned about, are you passing your classes and are you going to go to college, than like how kids are actually doing.
I think that, like you were just kind of trying to say, I think it is more of like a systemic thing. I think that schools need to hire counselors, so academic counselors, and they need to hire mental health professionals. Those are two different lanes. And, you know, they have training, schooling, background experiences for those things. And I don't think that one person should be doing both of them. And I think there should be multiple. So I don't want to place too much blame on the actual individual, because the schools need to be recruiting people for these different positions that have the competency and the educational background to be equipped to deal with these certain situations. And and unfortunately, it does come down to pay too. And it's like, a school counselor doesn't get paid that much, especially like I work at a private, you know, alternative school. And I mean, they get paid better than me, but they're still not getting paid. And that does affect it. Of course, we care about the kids and that's not why we're there. But, you know, sometimes people's efforts and people's determination can be a result of if they feel valued. And sometimes value can be illustrated in pay, in treatment by their employer, etc. So I think that all of those things need to be taken into consideration. Also, having, you know, mental health professionals that are from all different backgrounds. I know at Central Catholic, like all the counselors when we were going there were white. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had a great experience with my Chuck. You know, Chuck was my counselor, and you know, he did, I think he was diverse in, you know, different parts of his life, so I appreciate that. But there were no people of color, and that's something that's so important when it comes to youth of color and them feeling comfortable enough to express themselves and talk about mental health issues. Statistically, and just me knowing myself, like, I want to be able to talk to someone that looks like me that can relate to experiences I'm going through. So I think there's a lot of work that the educational system, like, obviously across the board needs to be doing. And yeah, there needs to be, in my opinion, it should be a required class of every year of every term that you go to school, that you take a mental health or self-care class.
Absolutely.
It's just like, because you never know. Some people don't feel comfortable speaking up. Some people feel like they can't fit into their schedule, whatever the excuse might be. Like, let's just take the burden off of the youth and let them know, like, hey, this is here for you. And we're going to, you know, show you that you are important to us and we care about you. So that's just, I mean, I could go on for days about that because it just drives me nuts.
Yeah. Well, and To go off of that, it seems pretty clear to me that the counselors don't have the right training to look for the signs. You know, like, students need that kind of training too, mm-hmm. but how are they supposed to get that if the staff don't even understand? Like, mm-hmm. I can totally relate to Hannah as somebody who asked for help, maybe not super directly, you know, like the counselor talks about when he's on trial that like she didn't say the words I was raped, but like she clearly asked for help and didn't get it. And I have been in that situation with multiple counselors, with teachers, with my parents, where I was clearly asking for help, not directly, but like clearly asking for help and didn't get it.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into the next question is, where do you guys think that the breakdown in support was for Hannah? Was it, you know, at school with the counselor? Was it with her parents? Was it with her friends? Was it a combination of all? And what can you do to ensure you have a good support system?
I think it was a combination of everything. I think I want to say that the responsibility is the least on her friends just because they're young and it shouldn't be their responsibility to, you know, save somebody's life in that way. But at the same time, they do know her better than anybody else. But I would say that the most responsibility lies on her parents. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like that's their child and they should know better than anyone to be able to recognize when something is happening with their child. And I feel like there were a lot of signs throughout the show of that she was struggling and that she needed help. And they were, you know, they said all throughout the trial, like, oh, our baby girl was so happy and so wonderful. And like, well, obviously you were missing something because she wasn't.
I agree. I feel like the breakdown of the support, though, happened afterwards. I feel like they supported her in a sense when she was still alive, but the support really came afterwards, when everybody was kind of trying to tell her story. But yeah, I definitely agree with the root of it. It's definitely the parents because they had their own issues going on that kind of overshadowed Hannah and supporting her. Her mom seemed like she did a lot of brushing off and, you know, saying that she's happy and kind of just rolling with that. Being I'm an only child, so the attention was always just everything that as I couldn't share getting in trouble. It was just all me. If it was a happy moment, it was all me. If it was a sad moment, it was all me. If my parents were going through something, I went through it by myself. So knowing that, you know, your parents kind of have their own lives too. As a child, you kind of just step into this box and keep things away from your parents, which you should feel happy to, you know, open up and talk to your parents about whatever. But, you know, that wasn't the case for me. I didn't share everything with my parents. I didn't share a lot with my parents. And it seemed the same for Hannah, 'cause she was very different than what she was in season one. Mm-hmm. She was, let me just put that out there. I didn't really care for Hannah in season two. I was kind of over her, and I'm very glad she's not going to be in season three. Because she, and I don't want to sound, this is so hard. She put a lot on herself
but I don't want to victimize
I'm definitely not saying that, but I feel like Hannah could have done a lot of things differently, but you know, I'm not blaming her for what she went through because it shouldn't happen to nobody, and it shouldn't have happened to her, but I definitely think with the right support system, which again she didn't have, you can definitely, you know,
Well, that was a big problem that I had with the show was mm-hmm. that they set viewers up to want to blame her.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
they put you in a yeah. position to want to blame her, and that's not the message that you want to be sending, because it does. It looks like she's getting herself into all these kinds of situations.
Being
and she's
with a
not...
bunch of different people
totally.
We didn't know she was even messing with in season mm-hmm. one.
And yeah. then all of a sudden, it all comes out in season yeah. two, and yeah. there's all this question about whether or not she's lying, yeah. and
Clay
and you definitely get
to
the bottom
her.
Of it.
Yeah, I definitely don't think she was, you know, lying. I just think that, you know, she was
embarrassed, you know, because yeah. a lot of those things, like, fell through. Like, the relationship that she had with, tell me his name.
Zach.
Sorry. I'm like, I see them, and I'm like.
Yeah, same. I don't remember
I should have wrote their names down. With Zach, like, I feel like that was a really pure genuine thing. Yeah. yeah, but when it fell through, when he, you know, was ashamed of her, I mm-hmm. feel like that just kind of, like, opened the floodgates for her to be like, well, I tried to care about someone. I thought they cared about me, and mm-hmm. now I'm gonna just do me and do, you know, talk to different people and do whatever. And I feel like I can just really sympathize with her, because like I went through literally the exact same thing. I'm sure most of us in this room have like went through a phase where it's like, yeah, like that didn't work out, so I'm gonna just do whatever I want. You know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. just, you know. So it's like, yeah, I agree that it definitely like. They definitely played, like, devil's advocate in season two, like, setting it up to make her look like she deserved, like, to be called those names and treated that way and, like, assaulted and, like, everything. Like, she wanted it and things like that.
I mean, it was just awful. I just thought the whole show was awful.
What do you say? I think that, like, you can't really blame it on the school, even though, like, she does have, like, a counselor and, like, stuff like that. But I think, like, her only really kind of support system through everything was Clay, and you can't...
What was that other guy's name that Which gave one? The tapes out?
Cause that Tony.
Was, like, her
Tony.
Right hand. That was, like, her right hand.
But, you know, you didn't really... You didn't.
Yeah,
yeah,
they
don't
really,
get any background.
We don't get
on
any
Tony.
Background. On, you know, I love Tony though.
Like, I do too.
I love Tony.
You didn't really see a lot of like Hannah and Tony's relationship though.
You
like
didn't,
you
like,
saw a lot of Clay and Hannah,
yeah. yeah.
And so it seemed like that was like the only like kind of support system that mm-hmm. she like felt that she had. And so like, in not like no one's perfect. So he like sometimes he didn't say the right things, and like when that happened, she just like felt so alone and like. Stuff like that, and like her parents didn't realize it, so it was just like she kind of felt like she had no one left when Clay would like say the wrong thing and mm-hmm. or do the wrong thing, and that's where I really like kind of saw a breakthrough.
Mm. Great. Well, we're gonna take a little music break. This is Bright by Kehlani.
Watching her reflection, as she parts her curls into four sections, she says, I don't look like them, I don't look like her, and I don't want what's on my head. But baby girl, don't be misled. Yeah, yeah, young woman, reading magazines, thinking to herself, nobody looks like me. Oh, I've got all these curves, all this nerve. Why can't I keep a man? Baby girl, if you love yourself, you can. Can't nobody love somebody that do not love themselves. You are what you choose to be. It's not up to no one else. So
always take right. No. Little boy sitting in the bleachers, staring at his dirty sneakers, thinking my shoes don't shine, money is tight, I will never get a day. But baby boy, oh, that's not what it takes. Can't nobody love somebody that do not love themselves. You are what you choose to be. It's not up to no one else. So be great, be kind. Don't let them dim your light. 'Cause yes, you are like the sun, so always stay bright.
Great. Love that song. Love that whole album. Kehlani is a great, great artist. So I just want to give another trigger warning for anybody who's just tuning in. For listeners that may be affected by language and discussion surrounding self-harm and other adult content, this episode of Queen Talk focuses on some heavy topics that could trigger listeners. So we've been talking about the popular Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, the state of youth and teen mental health in the United States, etc. So some people have argued that Hollywood continues to glamorize or romanticize self-harm and unhealthy relationships. The biggest examples of this can be seen in shows like Degrassi, 13 Reasons Why, and movies like Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey, but there's plenty more. What responsibility do filmmakers, actors, and or streaming platforms have to inform people on the triggering and emotionally disturbing content of these shows and movies? How could Netflix have better prepared audiences for 13 Reasons Why?
I feel like they could have prepared people instead of saying, oh, it's a suicide show, say there's suicide in it. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't, like, for me anyways, I didn't see anything saying, oh, there's going to be graphic scenes of when Hannah actually kills herself. It's not going to just be a whole bunch of jump cuts and then there's the scene. Like, it's the whole thing. And I just feel like they could have voiced that a little bit more.
I honestly just feel like it doesn't even belong on the show. So one of the big controversies when the show first came out, for those of you who don't know, was that there was all kinds of research done, like, before, while they were making the show, and, you know, all of these experts about teenagers and self-harm and suicide were saying to them, like, whatever you do, do not show the actual suicide on TV, because it glamorizes and it encourages people to commit suicide, and they did it anyway. I think the people who made the show were really going for the wow factor and not actually looking out for teenagers who might be watching the show and, like, trying to teach an important lesson. I think they, like, put on that front that that's what they were trying to do, but I think they were actually just trying to, you know, make a buzz. Also, if we're on the topic of Degrassi, did anybody see that Drake video?
Yeah. Oh, girl.
Yes.
Because that just made my whole life this
we
morning.
We remarried all over again.
Oh, my gosh. So great. Yes. But even more so, I think, like, Degrassi is another, like, Degrassi, I think, did it a little bit better to try and teach people. But they also had some stuff that was bad. So I'm going to get really real with everybody. I was a cutter in high school. I was a self-harmer, and I 100% got that from Degrassi. I got that from watching Ellie do that on Degrassi, and like that's what made me so upset about watching 13 Reasons Why, is because I like can say pretty confidently that had I watched 13 Reasons Why in that same time period of my life, I probably would have pretty heavily considered suicide from watching it on TV.
No, that's real. My mom banned me from watching, like, 13. I don't know if you guys seen that movie.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. Couldn't watch it. Oh, my. Yeah, couldn't watch it. Too graphic. I tried it for no reason, just because I seen it. So it's kind of like...
I feel like I'm having a hard time agreeing with everybody. Like, because...
That's okay. This is why we have this show, is so we can, yeah, like, flush out ideas and opinions.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are... their opinions are very opposite of mine as far as, like, Netflix not putting it out, and, you know, the last scene being the most horrible scene. Like, don't watch it, skip over it, you know, kind of thing. You know, I feel like there's a difference between seeing it as a kid and then seeing it as an adult. I definitely wouldn't let my teenager watch this show. Like, my 13-year-old, no. Totally. Unless they were in my presence and I cannot kind of
walk them through,
or, you know, kind of give them some as the show was going on if they had questions and things, but definitely not alone. But I think that the show was real, and there's not a lot of real shows out there that's kind of just putting it on the forefront. You know, this is what's happening, and it is in the schools, you know, in these teenagers' lives. Suicide's happening, cutting is happening, attempt is happening, rape is they're basically just putting it on putting what's happening in real life on TV. And I feel like if this were to happen at Jeff, or if this were to happen at POIC, or if this were to happen at, you know, Ockley Green Middle School, you wouldn't really hear about it, I feel like.
No.
So, obviously, like, there are, like, confidentiality laws and things like that, but, you know, one of those schools that you named, like, did recently have a youth that actually did attempt. And like you said, nothing has been publicized about that. So just keep that in mind. So what you're saying is one I agree 100% with.
And I totally agree with you, too. I think this is a great show for adults to watch. Mm-hmm. I think there are really important messages in it. My problem is that, you know, Netflix is readily available to my 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And that I think is a huge problem. And I think it can even be a great show for parents to watch with their kids. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that tons of kids are watching this without any kind of adult supervision. Exactly. Yeah. And that is, like, when it's being watched by kids, it is a step-by-step guide on how to, you know, take your own life and to get revenge on people who were mean to you. And that's not, you know, for adults, it's entirely different, but it's not just available to adults.
Then I feel like, I definitely agree with that. But then I feel like, you know, that's kind of where a parent has to step in and kind of, I just got asked this question, like, yeah, you want kids, but, you know, how are you going to raise them? And I completely don't know. Like, yeah, I talk all day. I want kids, you know. I want to have these babies. I want to have two kids. I want to have twins. But it's like, am I educated enough to even, you know, prepare my kids for certain situations? But I feel like parents just definitely need to get in their kids' lives a little bit more.
Absolutely. And I think that's the problem, is that a lot of the kids who this is happening to, is their parents aren't in their lives.
Yeah.
And so if it's just available for anyone who wants to watch it, you know, the kids who don't have involved parents are going to watch it by themselves.
Yeah. Well, kind of, because my parents were definitely in my life, and I've attempted suicide before. I was very, very, very depressed. You know, still kind of deal with that a little bit, a little anxiety, you know, things like that. But my parents were very, very active in my life, especially being an only child, and I still attempted that. And I think because of social media and friends and not having the life of, you know, homegirl over here that's just popping, or, you know, I'm kind of just, you know. So I feel like it could be the people around you too that, you know, has to kind of be active as well. Yeah, definitely not only your parents, but
I'm happy you're here.
Oh yeah, me too, girl. Thank you.
Going off what Vanessa said earlier of like how Degrassi was kind of like a guide for her, and like how 13 Reasons Why is like kind of a guide for the younger generation. When the first season of 13 Reasons Why came out and everyone had to like finish the season and everything, a lot of people, I had heard that they didn't know that like the way that Hannah like cut herself was like the way that you cut yourself to actually commit suicide. And I feel like a lot of people, like maybe some people didn't know that, and like that's like they started cutting and they started doing it that way. And I just feel like that's just like, I don't know, that was just kind of like scary to me. And like I just know like a lot of people have like tried, like I know a lot of people like in my class like that cut themselves, and it's just like scary, and like just like opening them up to like a different way of doing it and a different way to harm themselves, and like the worser options that come with it, or like consequences that come with it. And it's just like, that's just really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, so I've like taken a couple like quizzes and like tests in school that like it's kind of like you have to watch this video or fill out this like form before you can move on to the next portion of the test. So I feel like there should be some kind of like system like that for shows like 13 Reasons Why and like that have like adult, mature, like graphic, disturbing content that, you know, you have to watch. So there was a Netflix special called 13 Reasons Why Beyond the Reasons that the cast, mm-hmm. Producers and mental health professionals did, and they discussed scenes dealing with difficult issues including bullying, depression, sexual assault. So that is available on Netflix, but like you have to actively seek that out. Like it's not a part of the series package, if that makes sense.
And it wasn't there when they first released the show.
Yeah, it wasn't after. During season. Yeah, they didn't have that during season one. Yeah. So if there was a way that Netflix or the technological like IT people, whatever, can make it so that has to be watched entirely. You have to answer questions throughout to make sure you're not just like having it on the background while you're doing dishes or whatever. Like something more interactive that shows that you've went through the kind of series special that goes more in depth about, you know, mental health issues and graphic content and violent content before you can even start the show. And then obviously if there was some kind of like parental lock that, like, I don't know. It's just because of the internet that I feel like kids, yeah, could like easily break whatever lock it was, totally. Like answer this like statistical math question, which I couldn't probably even answer, but still, you know what I mean, like something. I just feel like they could do more preventative care to make sure that it wasn't as readily accessible to youth, like you were talking about earlier, like your daughter. I think that would be a good thing for them to look into, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and if that's not going to happen too, I think that, you know, people knowing that this content is out there, that like people should be discussing it in schools, and people, yeah, should be actively, you know, seeking out their children and saying, "Hey, have you heard about this? Have you watched this yet?" So that, you know, nobody slips through the cracks of, "Oh, well, their parents don't pay attention to them, so they don't understand any of it." You know, teachers should be talking about the show because it's out there and they know that their students are watching it.
Yeah. I feel like that could go for a lot of things too, not just 13 Reasons Why Netflix. I feel like YouTube, if you go and type in how can I kill myself, something will come up. Something that could successfully work. And then on Facebook, there's people killing people all the time, and you know, there's all types of graphic things on the internet that needs that kind of thing too, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. I think the internet is a really, really scary place. It's a really useful tool, but for youth and for people that are struggling with different issues, it's like you said, it's a guide. You can go look up anything. You can look up, you know, how to shove 12 grapes down your ear or something. You know what I mean? Like, you can literally look up anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there needs to be a team or an organization that's all they do is work on different solutions, preventative and intervention. And what's the thing after? Just services, I guess, or resources if it's after the fact. I don't know why I can't think of the word right now. Things that are like you have to go through or you have to sign up for, you have to participate in before you can even view those things. And honestly, like YouTube, like there needs to be more people checking the videos that are being posted by these like users. Like,
you know,
that
what's crazy is they check the YouTubers that are successful and take their videos down instead of taking down the videos that may have only gotten 16 views or something like that. It's crazy. I think it's ridiculous.
I think what you said earlier about having some kind of class for students that's like required of every term of, you know, every year that you take, I think is a really good idea. And like, I don't know that that's going to happen, but I think that is a super good idea to just make sure that everybody's being educated about mental health and self-care and, you know, how to find support if you need help and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the CDC needs to press their issue. So if anybody from the CDC is listening, hit me up and we can have a chat. So we kind of already talked about what advice we would give parents who have children that have, I don't know why this question, I wrote it totally wrong. They have children that want to watch the show, basically, or have watched the show. Does anyone want to say anything more, like, that Michaela or Vanessa didn't touch on about, like, how to go about viewing the show or, you know, having conversations with your kids before or after the show, which I think both are is necessary if you plan on watching the show with them. Anything?
I would recommend watching the show first before you just sit down and watch it with your child.
Yeah, totally.
Because you want to like give yourself some time to think about it. Yeah, and process and figure out the right thing to say so you don't just have your candid reaction in front of your kid.
Go ahead.
I just feel like whether it's like a show or like a movie or anything, I feel like parents should just like check in with their kids more often because like even if they think that their kid's fine, like Hannah Baker's parents did, they thought that she was like perfectly okay. I just feel like if you show your kid that like you're like obviously you care about them, but if you're like if you care and like you're worried about them more, that like maybe they'll start to like open up to you or something if they're like keeping something from you.
Totally,
and keep like check in with them, like even if they say they're okay and like all that stuff, just keep checking in and like maybe something will like change and like you just like kind of prevented like something that could have happened in the future.
That was one of the one really good things that I got out of season one was at the end Clay was saying that, you know, we just need to check on each other more in general. So not just parents and their kids, but teachers and friends. And, you know, I've seen that a lot on Facebook lately, which has been pretty cool of like, you know, people saying check in on your strong friend, like you were saying earlier, Michaela, about, you know, sometimes the people who look the best on the outside are the ones that need the most help.
Yeah. And also, I think just to put it out there, a lot of times like counseling and mental health services, they get a bad, you know, rap or a rep that you only need to go there if you have a problem. No, you can go talk to a counselor whenever, like good days, bad days, even if you're not particularly going through anything. That's just a trusted adult, a trusted, you know, professional that you can just flush things out with, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I would just suggest not waiting until you see a problem in your child to get them services in counseling or in mental health therapy. Just like having them practice how to connect with their emotions and regulate their emotions and use I statements and be able to, you know, just process things. So don't just always wait until something drastic happens or they just watch 13 Reasons Why and now they're like, oh, we need to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, like they can go talk to somebody about anything, just about their day, you know?
I think people get scared of counseling too, especially kids, of thinking that, you know, the counselor is going to run back and tell their parents everything right. that they said. But there are some really great confidentiality laws in place, and, you know, counselors really only are going to get somebody else involved if they genuinely think that, you know, you're going to hurt yourself or somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Also, I just want to say, because I have a lot of friends that are really, like, against watching this show. Watch the show. The show is really good. Like, the show is really good. I think they have some really good points. It opens your eyes to a lot of things. So, I mean, if you're hesitant about watching the show, you're not really sure, you know, if, you know, it's going to be a trigger for you or it, you know, if it's even any good. I personally really like the show. Can't wait till season three in 2019. but yeah, I think people should watch the show. I'm talking adults, and young adults, like, you know, my age. I think, you know, give it a shot. And if you just can't, then, you know, then you just can't. But I definitely think that it's a show to watch.
I don't 100% agree with that.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think it's definitely really good for a lot of people. And I also think that if you're a person who is really struggling, that it's probably not a good idea. Mm. Because I think it can be super triggering for people who are in the thick of it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it can be really dangerous for the wrong person.
What about you, Asia? Would you recommend or not recommend? Or it depends on the person?
I think it depends on the person. Like, me, I watch a little bit of anything, to be honest, and I'm sure there's people who do that too, but me, I probably won't watch again. Like, it's just not in my thing. I don't know, but I mean, I recommend it, but I don't, like, I don't recommend it just because obvious reasons, but then I do because some people need to be informed on stuff like that. So, like, you don't know about it until you really get to see it. So
I feel like it does depend on the person, but, like, I feel like younger kids shouldn't really, like, be watching it. But adults, like, even if their kid is watching it, because kids now are very tech savvy and can find their way around anything, if their kid is watching it, I feel like you should watch it just to know, like, what they're watching and, like, what may be going through their head to, like, just, like, I don't know, to just, like, help them. So I feel like that's really what you gotta do.
Okay, well, that wraps up the show. So thank you so much to everyone who has tuned in tonight. Here in Queen Talk, we would like to honor any and all individuals who have lost their lives to self-harm in their families and just anyone who's struggling with these issues as well. This includes countless people and most recently includes celebrities like Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, two people who were said to be happy and loved, with quotes from their family stating that there were almost no signs of mental health issues. Please do your best to check on your loved ones, especially that strong friend like we've exemplified and hit on a few times during the show. You never know what someone's going through. I know this was a deep and tough conversation to have and to listen to. If you or someone you know is dealing with depression or thoughts and or acts of self-harm, please call the National Hotline for Suicide Prevention at 1-800-273-8255. And thank you to all my guests. Thank you to Jack, who was our board op. And thank you for listening.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't
fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker. Try make bloody moves. Now she say she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at. You know where I be. You in the club just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them bands so much I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop two mixtapes in 6 months. We're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these. Don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say ghosts. I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill in some babe. I might just chill with your boo. I might just spill on your babe. My f*** feel like a lake. He wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent in the new wave. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these dicks be mad at me. They baby father wanna build. Say, Lou, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick cutting. Also, don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now and speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. If you a f***, you get popped. You a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way. You can't hang around my block. And I just check my account, turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my hand above my hip, I bet you dip, he dip, she dip. I say, I get the money and go. This is high like a stove, my glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch play her role. I just a rope and a rose. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank, no, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these know that none of them none of the safe. Go to dinner and steak, only the real can relate. I used to live in the peas, now it's a crib with a gay. Rolly got charms, the life was the place. Hard to let these know, just in case these forgot. I just wanna check the mail, another check on my doctor. You can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the store, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose, and I'm quick cutting. Also, don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now and speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kboo.fm. And of course, you can always download KBOO from your Google Play or iTunes on your mobile phone. Just go to Google Play or iTunes.